Target Circle, the program you know and love now, includes automatic deals.
The all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360, is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hi, you guys. We are back for another thrilling episode of 90210 OMG. It is us.
I love the way you say 90210 OMG.
OMG. Get excited.
Jenny, you know what everybody loved?
What?
You're going to have to redo it.
What? Oh my gosh, what?
What did they love?
And I can't even
People like that.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wait, you didn't hear it went viral? Like everyone's like redoing that. That's like people have that as their like thing on TikTok.
Do it. I'm Anne.
Nope. That was the sexy version. Do it one more time.
Oh, okay. Wait. I'm Anne.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. That's it.
I had to really dig deep for that one.
It's so good. That's good.
You guys, guess what? Anne's not in this week's episode. Woo!
No, but We do owe everybody something. Before we start this week's episode, we promised a dramatic recreation of last week's episode. So we transcribed the whole scene.
You are crazy.
Jenny, would you play?
And we're here for it.
Would you play the part of Anne?
Oh, can I?
She has to.
I don't even know why I'm making this voice now.
I'm going to be the director.
You don't want to be. be Dylan? You want me to be Dylan?
I want you to be Dylan, yeah.
No, oh, God. Okay. Wait.
Wait, where is it? I can't find it.
Wait, should I not be like, you know, do that voice? Should I just be a little bit more realistic?
No, you better give it all the man you have in you.
Okay. All right.
I'm putting it in our group text, but I think they're putting it on the screen.
I got it. I got it. I'm ready.
I see it.
This is a cold read, by the way. I have not seen
cold
this.
Read, yeah, cold
yeah,
read.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I'll do the, what is it when you read the
descriptions?
What? Yeah. Or stage direction.
You do that.
So I'm Dylan. Oh, this is the, okay. I've lived my whole life for this. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Dylan and Anne opening scene. Anne on a horse galloping through the meadow with her hair blowing in the wind. Dylan, having car troubles, hears a neighing nearby and turns to look. And Anne gallops up. Oh, and Anne gallops up to Dylan and his broken down car.
Nice car.
Nice horse.
Borrowed or stolen?
Doesn't really matter. I mean, it's not going anywhere either way.
Is there a phone around here somewhere? Oh, that's your line.
Sorry.
This voice could be Dylan's. I don't know.
Let me get back.
Okay, okay. Center.
Is there a phone around here somewhere?
There's one back at the ranch. I'm Anne.
I'm Dylan.
Anne turns horse around towards the ranch.
Climb on up.
And scene. Nailed it.
Wow. It's hard being Anne.
I don't want to be greedy, but like, I'm literally living the dream right now. Tori, do you think I could do the other one with you? I mean,
there's nothing.
I've never.
Okay, yeah. I'll do this.
We're doing two today? Okay.
This is dramatic scene reading number two.
For everyone listening that's thinking this is the greatest thing that they would ever experience, it actually is. Like, I don't want to lie.
But only maybe if I wasn't Anne.
No, there's three of us in this one. So you have goodness. To be in this one.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay, so who do you want to be, Tori?
Nobody.
Do you want to be Nikki? Do you want to be Diesel? Or do you want to be Brandon? Those are the roles.
Okay, I'm going to be Nikki.
Okay, good
Jenny,
call.
Who do you want to be?
I want to be Brandon.
Okay, I'll be Diesel. This is great.
Perfect.
Okay. That's the one you wanted anyway. You know it.
Okay, I'll read it. Brandon slams car doors. Wait, I need to start over. Brandon slams car door as he approaches Diesel's house looking for Nikki. Brandon knocks on the door.
Yeah.
Let me talk to Nikki.
Get lost, Jack.
Nikki yells from inside.
Brandon! Brandon!
Brandon forces his way through the door and walks straight to Nikki. You okay?
Listen, this is between me and her.
Please take me home.
You're not going anywhere.
Yes, I am.
Nikki.
Wait.
That's you, Jenny.
Oh, Brandon interrupts. Sorry. Okay, give me the Nikki again. You say Nikki again. Go, go.
Oh. Nikki.
Hey, you heard her. She's leaving.
Oh, sorry. I stepped on your line. Take two.
Okay.
Nikki.
Hey, you heard her. She's leaving.
Fine. Take her. You two make a real cute couple. You better be careful. She's jailbait, you know.
You ever slap any guys around wait. I've had
what the heck? What the heck is that?
I think it's like, you ever slap any guys around Weasel, or is beating up young girls more your style?
Oh, you're so good.
Oh wow. My God, you're so good.
Yeah, I don't get this part. I'm failing as Brandon. Okay,
like, you ever slap any guys around Weasel? Like that.
Okay, ready? I'm just like Amy, line reading. Okay. You ever slap, oh boy.
So
take
good.
80. You ever slap any guys around Weasel, or is beating up girls more your style?
You want to take me on?
Well, I got nothing to prove, but if you want to take a shot, why don't you go ahead, Dennis? Diesel shoves Brandon back, then winds up for a big swing at Brandon. Brandon ducks and comes back at Diesel and punches him straight in the face.
Brandon!
Diesel stumbles back, holding his face.
Let's just get out of here.
Brandon and Nikki leave, leaving Diesel on the ground holding his face. End scene.
That
was something
really bad. Sorry, guys. I haven't acted in a minute. It's been, you know. So
you guys were incredible.
I think you were really good, actually. I think that you have a future.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Nobody really enjoyed that episode, meaning they enjoyed our podcast, but they didn't really care for that whole episode. They thought it was super.
We told you.
Yeah. You guys were right. 100% okay. Right.
And now on to.
Should we read the email to Amy from a listener, or you want to do that later?
No, read it. So I read all the Instagrams and the emails and the whole thing. This person had such a great perspective on why people like Brenda that I wanted you guys to read it. It's really, it put kind of light bulb on for me. I mean, I'm still Team Kelly, but it did.
It's definitely long.
Why don't you read it? It's real long.
Tori, you read it.
Yay, bringing my glass. Oh, me or Amy?
I think Amy should read it.
Oh, good.
Okay, so I'm going to read this. I won't say the name of the person just in case they don't want it known. But I thought this was so thought-provoking. Mm-hmm. So it says, I'm Team Brenda. So you don't suspect I'm just being nice to you because I'm Team Kelly. You once asked if listeners would write and say why they like Brenda. I don't have Instagram, so I didn't do it. But I think a lot of girls and me identified with Brenda. She was the new girl. She felt like an outsider that she wrote corresponded so well with my own feelings at school so that they could relate to her. Mm-hmm. Kelly was beautiful and fun, and I enjoyed her. But I could never identify with the beautiful, confident, popular girl. The normality of Brenda's situation made her so relatable. She displayed characteristics that I think were really important for me to see as a teenage girl. She was independent. She was not a pushover. She spoke her mind. There was a wish fulfillment for the viewer of seeing her getting together with Dylan. For once, the ordinary girl got to get with the dream guy who is handsome and mature and serves and read Byron's collected works. Of course, beautiful and popular Kelly would end up with Dylan. But for a while, we ordinary girls had the dream come true. When I had my bad breakup last year, the first thing I did was to find my 90210 DVD set and put on the episode Parental Guidance Recommended, where Dylan breaks up with Brenda for good. Because to this day, even as a 30-year-old woman or the lost teenage girl inside me, I can identify with Brenda. Like, that really
hit me. Breaks my heart.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart too. But was Brenda really normal? Like, was...
See, that's the thing. I don't see her. That's why we didn't see that perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so gorgeous and dresses so cool. Yeah. She doesn't feel like the normal girl to me. But I guess originally, like, coming mm-hmm. from... Yeah, it's the TV
fish
version.
Fish out of water, right. And then the Walshes aren't as, for lack of a better word, rich.
Beverly Hills, yeah.
Yeah. It so I sense. Just thought that was so beautifully written. And it really made me realize, like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm so glad somebody took the time to write that email because...
Oh, they write the most amazing... Like, I could cry. They write the most amazing things, you guys. Like, it's just like, I get emotional because the show means so much to people. And then the way they explain it, it's like, they're smart.
Thank you for believing in us, everyone.
We better start talking about this episode or I'm going to be like, waterworks.
Let's do it. Let's jump in before Amy has a breakdown. Let's talk about season 3, episode 15, The Kindness of Strangers, aired November 25th, 1992. And now for the world's longest synopsis.
Oh, man. I'm going to try.
Okay.
Synopsis. A rainy Thanksgiving brings uneasy get-togetherness when Brandon brings over Jack Canner, the homeless man he tried to help out the previous summer, after Nikki leaves town to visit her parents in San Francisco. Meanwhile, Steve, now expelled from school, joins his mother for a TV shoot in Santa Barbara when he finally breaks his bad news to her. But Samantha Sanders actually sticks up for Steve and gets him conditionally readmitted to West Beverly. Also, Dylan brings his father home for Thanksgiving and must cope with his presence and his new girlfriend, Christine.
Directed by Richard Lang, written by Steve Wasserman and Jessica Klein.
Oh, we loved Richard Lang.
Yes,
like a teddy bear.
He was. That's right. This was the Thanksgiving episode, I guess.
So much to talk about, too.
First of all, Yeah. It doesn't rain in LA.
Was that fake rain? Was that fake rain?
100%. And it rain was raining sideways in some of the shots. And it, like, what?
The best was when Donna and David come to the Walsh's door for Thanksgiving.
You are jumping.
I know, but you guys, it was dumping rain. The roof is leaking. But then when they show up at the door, there's not a drop in sight and there's sort of like a sparkle of sun.
Yeah, they're perfectly dry and they're wearing their ski clothes from the slopes to Thanksgiving. Like, Donna's dressed in a full ski outfit.
You know you weren't mad at that whole white ensemble.
No, it looked damn good on you. But I was like, why is she wearing her ski situation?
Like, change, yeah.
Did you go on an airplane to get to the ski slopes or did you drive there?
They were going to Big Bear, dude. It's like
it was Big Bear, not Mammoth. Okay, we usually go to Mammoth.
You drove.
Big Bear. He shouted it out.
It makes sense then a little bit more. I was like, did she go on an airplane in that getup?
Oh my goodness.
Are you a good skier in real life, Tori?
I am not.
Jenny?
I am.
Jenny, you are, yeah.
She is.
Yeah.
Can you ski at all? Can you ski at all, Tori?
I've been on skis.
I gotta see this. I've never seen you ski.
I've had to be like medically like taken down the hill. Oh my God. So I went one time to, what is it, Mountain High, you guys? It's like an hour outside of LA. The only high school like trip I went on, and you're supposed to pair up with somebody. And I paired up with my friend in high school and she was like an expert skier. And I was like, okay, just know that I've been on skis like once in my life when I was 12 with my parents. So we're on the slope. We're on the ski lift going up, chairlift, going up, 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 up. It's going so far up. It was like the black run, you guys, the expert one.
I don't even think Mountain High has a black diamond, Jenny.
Okay, so it was the highest one. I literally scoot it down as far as I could, and then they sent medical help in the thing, and they put me on it and took me down.
On the snowmobile?
Yes, and I waited. No, I wasn't in a snowmobile. I was in the back of something connected to a snowmobile.
Like, were you on 90210 at this point? Like, were you famous going down in that thing?
Oh, man.
So embarrassing.
I think I might have. I don't remember. Ugh. I sat in the bus the rest of the day waiting to go home. I was so mortified. Never skied again.
Oh. Oh, God. You shouldn't ski with Jenny. I think Jenny's like expert.
She is.
No, I don't. I'm a skier, but as you get older, you don't really want to go down those scary ones anymore. And I don't know, just don't have it in me.
Yeah, I get it.
But yeah, okay. It doesn't rain in LA. Everybody knows that. So this was must have been a big budget for this episode because it's expensive to make it rain.
It rains constantly.
Yeah, if it rains in LA, it rains for like 5 minutes and then it stops.
So the whole point of making it rain is just so we can have that. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. That scene where he goes up and he fixes the roof for them. That was it, right?
He goes on the roof to fix the and everybody else stay. Why were Kelly and David and Donna standing outside in the rain with no umbrella, just watching?
Our hair.
I know.
I was worried.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important. Don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I tell you guys, though, that was not far-fetched what happened to the Walsh's kitchen.
Ceiling?
Because that happened. I had a leak and that happened.
Like, the whole thing came happened. Down? Whoa. It was very dangerous. I was concerned someone was going to get electrocuted.
Yes. Oh,
I didn't even think of that.
Jenny, you're so right. They kept the power on. Yeah. If you had water pouring out of your kitchen light, you're supposed to like turn your power off immediately.
Can we just go back to the very beginning scene when Brandon, Brandon's walking. I think it was in the school hallway. He's walking down the hallway and this is crazy that I don't know if I should say this or not, but my eyes were
drawn. That means 100% yes.
My eyes were drawn to a certain area of his body.
His crotch?
Yeah.
His penis.
Yeah.
Is it huge? I'm going to have to go back and look.
Because he wore his jeans up high, or and his pants up high with a belt, so it always made that like crease there.
It was like a big bulgy situation. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I was distracted.
I need to immediately go watch. Is this one because Andrea is on crutches now? She's out of the wheelchair, so she's obviously improving.
Yep, that must have sucked.
Obviously, that was real. I know y'all told me it was real, and y'all are right because it clearly was real.
I didn't remember. Jen remembered. I didn't.
For once, I remembered something.
You got it.
And then they let they let Jack out of prison for the holiday. Does that happen?
I thought no.
But that would never happen. Maybe if it's like a low sort of risk.
Right.
Prisoner.
He is like a
wasn't a
like
violent
a money
crime.
Criminal. Yeah. Right. I'm going to look.
Like a white collar crime, like
Yeah, I think he's white collar.
So like he just has a thing on his ankle? No.
He didn't even have that, right? He just had, they just told Dylan he had to babysit him.
I don't know.
That was weird.
So weird. So
I'm looking it up. Do white collar criminals get out for holidays? Let's see what the internet says on that.
Well, you look that up. Okay, so did you see... Did you see the... when they go in the back door of the peach, he gets out of his Mustang. It's pouring rain. He goes into the back door of the peach pit. Mm-hmm. And then later on, he comes out of the back door of the peach pit and it's still pouring rain. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was cool because that was the door of Peach Pit After Dark later in the series.
Yes.
That was the same door.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And like for anybody that doesn't know, like when you film something like that, it's cool. Like they filmed that right away, like him going into the scene and then him coming out of the scene without the scene happening. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
No, that's people a great might not tidbit. Know that. Right. Because you don't shoot like linear, right? Like you don't go in order.
In order. Yeah. So they were like, okay, go in the door. Now close it. Okay, great. Go back out the door.
And we got two scenes.
Yep,
great.
We're good. And cut. Moving on.
So I had one note back on Jack at prison. That's okay. Not Lompoc because they said he goes to Lompoc, right? Lompoc, mm-hmm. Which is kind of in up the 101, like sort of near Atascadero, right? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. That was San Quentin because the shot they showed was like a prison on beautiful water.
Wait, where is San Quentin?
In Marin County, and it's like on the water. Like San Quentin's, first of all, he wouldn't be at San Quentin because that's like, there's death row there.
Hardcore?
But yeah. Well, it's weird. It's like hardcore and then also like drug offenders. But anyway, there's no water at Lompoc. It's like totally isolated in the middle of California. That was the most beautiful prison and I'm 99%.
See, I would never have known that.
San Quentin. I was like, oh, flag on the play. That is
That's not... good to know. They probably just wanted it to look pretty.
And it did. Yeah. And it did. But yeah, so that was my little, I didn't Google that. This is just coming out of my brain, but I noticed it.
And he comes in, he wants to bond with Dylan. He's drinking in front of his AA member son.
Brutal.
And then he doesn't spend any time bonding with Dylan because he wants to get with his girly.
Is it okay he drinks when he's like on leave from prison?
I'm sure not.
Like, I mean, do they? I don't think they.
I can't believe this.
It's really far-fetched. But that's the first time we meet Christine, who comes on. She's on the show for like seven, mm-hmm. 8 episodes. I was a little creeped out, though, that Jack, like your dad, imagine your dad telling you, like, I'm going to call a lady so I can get some. Like, that made me gag.
And then saying at the end where he says, you guys can have my bed.
Oh.
I was like.
That's just that's gross. Yeah.
Gross.
And the way he checks, like Dylan walks away and he checks Christine out. Like he does like a double take around the corner.
He was not checking her out. He was like, my dad's cool. Yeah. Look, he's going for it. No.
Oh, no.
I thought he was creeped out like me.
We all have different takes on that. It's really hard to understand. That's why.
I like Christine though. What do you guys think of her?
Yeah, I like her.
She's so pretty, like
so pretty,
classy lady,
mm-hmm.
And she's tough.
Yeah, she like I like that she stepped in. She had stepmother vibes going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you make that she knows Nat and goes to the peach pit?
So what does that mean? Like, is something coming? So does she used to date Nat? Wait, what's the Nat significance?
I don't know. I can't actually remember. I do know she's there for a while. And I actually, so that I know.
Like, there has to be a reason she's friends with Nat, right? Or it's...
Maybe we'll find out, like, in the next, because she's in how many episodes?
Like 8, like 7 or 8. I think 8.
We can ask her.
For a while.
We're going to do a one-on-one interview with her, so we're going to ask her. Why do you know Nat?
Yes.
How do you know
Because
Nat?
We don't remember our episodes, so please tell us what happens, because we don't know.
But she was cool. I actually thought, I don't know why my memory thought this, but that she was going to be like, I'm a lawyer. Like, I think she might be successful.
She looks it.
Yeah, she's not just like, some like, I don't know, fly by night lady. What they call her? Calls up.
What they call bimbo. They call her bimbo. Like multiple times. I had problems with that.
Because she's not.
Right, but also, why would he call her bimbo? Doesn't even know her.
Well, I think I get that Dylan was upset by Jack being like, where's the phone? As he's like drinking his cocktail, like he's going to call his lady. Like he should be spending time with his
kid. Time with him?
And gross.
Well, I did think that Jack McKay looked, he's hot. Like he's a good looking older man. I didn't really think so then, but now I'm like, hello.
Yeah.
He's hot. What did you guys think at the end when Dylan says goodnight, Dad? Ooh.
It didn't seem to roll off his tongue. You know, like it felt so, I don't know. I guess it was weird for him too, because he never doesn't call his dad dad. He calls him Jack. Did you ever call your parents by their first name?
Oh my gosh, never.
All the time.
You did, Amy?
All the time.
What? Wait, do it. How did? What's your mom? Who? Which one?
Oh my gosh.
Well, so both, because so my mom Cheryl, and now her grandma name is Grandma Cheryl. So we're always like Grandma Cheryl, like that.
Oh my gosh.
You never called your dad Aaron?
No. Oh my God. I'm getting nervous just thinking about it. Like, I didn't even call like my friend's parents by their first name when I was young.
I didn't even know my dad had a name. His name was Dad.
Wait, right? What is your parents' names, Jenny?
Apparently his name's John. It's a good solid name.
Apparently.
Yeah. When they become grandparents, though, then they become like Mimi and Pappy. And then I forget that they had mom and dad. So,
right. True. But Tori, for you, like, that's so. So everyone on the set, did they call your dad Mr. Spelling? Did people call him Aaron? What did they do? Aaron.
Like the actors?
And so you're around people
making
reference to him all the time.
Yeah.
And then you're like, Dad.
But I just wanted to like fit in. So I would have been creeped out if they were like, your dad, or like they felt comfortable enough that like I was just another actor. So that was good. That was good. I like that.
And did you take special care, like if your dad was on the set for some reason, not to, hey, dad, hug, hug? Like, did you kind of not do that or did you not worry
about it? No. Because we all felt like his kids when he would come on set, like we'd all be running up and hugging him. And
it was like Santa Claus came around.
Yeah. Like he didn't come on set that much, you know, mm-hmm. He was like over the hill. He was always a phone call away, you know.
But when he did, it was special.
Yeah.
Everyone got excited.
Oh, wow.
What about when Jack and Dylan, like Christine makes them rethink things, then I guess they make up, but they make up real quick and then they come out playing Monopoly.
Rousing game of Monopoly.
Wow, that was a fast makeup of all the years of like drama that those two have had.
And did they specifically mention Charles Place because of Chuck Rosen?
Probably. Oh,
that's our executive producer.
Probably.
Yes.
I love a good board game.
I was sort of happy for them to make up. I don't really love the angstiness between them.
No, it's they're so much stressful. Better, like, jovial together. And like,
yeah.
Oh, see, I thought they were kind of hot when they were, like, hot-headed at each other. Like, walk away, Jack. That's what you do best. And I was like, well, Dylan, that's what you do best.
Oh, yeah, when he was like, walk away, Jack.
Jack, yep. I don't know. And he's like, oh, this crap. Sorry, I got very excited here.
Oh, look, we're acting it out again.
Yeah, I don't know. Because they were both so, like, hot and, like, passionate. And I was kind of into it.
It's a good storyline. Getting Jack involved is. I like it. It gives a layer to him, to Dylan.
Yeah, it was very parent heavy this episode.
Very.
Family, because, Thanksgiving, all about family.
We have to get into the whole Walsh Thanksgiving of it all. Let's take a break and come back with that because there's a lot there.
You just want to talk about Jim's suspenders.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it. And I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we were watching this episode. My daughter was watching it with me, Fiona. She's almost 16. And I was like, do you think it's weird that I have the hots for Jim? And she was like, ew.
Listen, we all think it's a little weird. Not going to lie. But we support you.
Let me go back. Did you guys know immediately that that was Jack Canner digging in the dumpster? Like, did you make that connection immediately?
Nope. Did you?
Well, I did because I read the description of the episode.
I had a feeling, and then my feeling was proven right. So I don't know if my feeling was because I remembered or because, oh, that makes sense.
Why would they make him Jack when there's already
a Jack?
Yeah. And the same episode. Like, Jack McKay's not in that many episodes. He's in this one. I just think it's weird. And Dave, what's his name? Dave Sheridan? No.
He's great. What a great.
He was so Jason's best friend in real life.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
They were close buds. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wait, mm-hmm. So that's Jack Canner, the homeless vet.
Dave Sherrill.
His best friends.
Dave Sherrill.
David Sherrill.
And he and Jason were best friends.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he got the
well,
part.
I'm sure Jason was like, hey, you guys should consider my friend. He's really great. He was great.
He was. Total difference when he got rid of that beard and the whole thing. I was like, whoa.
I know.
Yeah, and that's a long, long walk from the beach club to the peach pit. So in the rain.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He must have been really
I
wet.
Was surprised by Jim being so.
What was he? Was he? Was he jealous or was he suspicious?
Well, you begin to understand. I think it had to do with Jim feeling less than because Jim's father mm-hmm. fought, you know, in a war or was in the armed forces mm-hmm. and that Jim wasn't because Jim was protesting the Vietnam War. It's a very deep storyline and you kind of yeah. get the like of what's going on in Jim's head. So he had that outburst because I think he felt like you're important either way.
Did you notice that every time they would talk about the storyline of Jack, they would play that like music, like serious, like military, like yeah. trumpet.
Yes.
like very distracting.
Very it also was important. I think it was an important storyline at the time. It was very timely, and they make the reference to President Bush not being in office anymore. And like this did happen that soldiers came home and were kind of left mm-hmm. to their own mm. devices and had no support mm-hmm. and were kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was intense the way it turned out for him. But it makes sense now that you're saying that was David. I remember they were friends and David didn't have a beard. That was fake beard, y'all.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. You know how you can always tell if it's a fake beard?
Jenny, whatever you're taking for your memory is freaking working.
No, I only say that. I don't remember. I just say that because I could tell it was a fake beard. You can tell because sometimes you'll see shiny under the hairs on the side, like the glue that they stick it on. Because usually with the beard, they stick it on hair by hair. So, and then also sometimes like some longer hairs get missed or forgotten about. So there's like a scraggly stray beard hair, which doesn't really happen.
Hmm.
Like it was like 2 inches longer than the rest of them. I don't know. Take a look.
So, okay. Did you think, all right. So I know we needed the like way to get everybody to the Walsh's. So I thought Andrea was ahead of her time because she didn't want to go to her vegetarian Thanksgiving, which
What's
probably
wrong
is like
vegetarian
a dime a dozen
dinner?
Now.
Yeah,
exactly.
I like a good tofurkey.
Did you think, I guess we're just to accept that Brenda and Kelly have fully made up for now.
I mean, made up enough to be like, hey, do you know where Dylan's going to be for Thanksgiving?
Oh,
that was weird.
That was a big eek, I thought. Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. But Kelly does say, I don't know and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But what about when Brandon walks in with Jim Cantor, the wet.
Oh, his name's Jim and I've been calling him Jack?
Nope, Jack, you're right.
Okay.
Jack Cantor. I got my Jim and my Jack and my Jack all confused. There's so many J's happening. But did you see Jim's face? And Cindy's, the expression on Cindy's face when they cut away to her.
I wrote it down. Cindy's mouth was like, it was so over the top. She's like this. I was like, dial it back. Girl.
Yeah, well, brought him right in. Did they wash his clothes? Well, so he took a shower, he shaved, he changed, he looks great. Did they wash his uniform? Well,
I bet Cindy would have.
Yeah, because when he put it back on later, it was real clean and dry.
Yeah, I feel like she would have.
Yeah, I like.
So this
Cindy
whole thing just felt like another episode. Mm-hmm. Like, the was it Christmas Eve dinner? Was it? Remember?
Yeah, I wrote down
where everyone showed up at the Walsh house.
Mm-hmm. I think that happens a lot. I wrote down that it was the world's most boring Thanksgiving ever. Like, they're all just sitting in that living room. The girls on one chair, the guys watching football, and nobody was talking.
This whole episode was very heavy.
My note was I felt like it was awkward and clunky. Like, I just felt like this episode, it was awkward, and it made me feel awkward.
Choppy. It was just,
yeah, choppy.
I loved it. Loved it.
Amy, you loved it?
Well, okay. Let's get to some of my other things, because I'll go back to Thanksgiving, because I was unimpressed by Cindy's vegetable platter, but that's not important. Did 90210, you guys, did 90210 invent reality television? Because was it a thing? And all of a sudden, Steve and his mom are on a reality show, basically like a fake reality show, because it was sort of planned. But like, there wasn't reality TV in the 90s. Right?
What? Yeah, there was.
Real world?
When was the Osbournes on?
No, later.
No, later?
We didn't have Bachelor. There was no Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire.
No.
Like, I think only The Real World.
Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? Isn't that a game show?
Who wants to? That's,
oh, no. Who wants to be one. It's much easier to just marry one, you guys.
You guys don't remember Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? It was like one of the first reality shows on Fox. And Darva Conger, she they married a dude like on the stage. It was weird.
Yeah, I didn't understand what was happening with, why did they go to Santa Barbara? Why were they in that weird house? Why were they shooting the show on Thanksgiving?
All of the above is a great question. And was that the Dynasty house? Like, what was that mansion?
I don't know.
I was looking at it. I was like, is that the Walsh house? But they just moved the stairway because it had the same space and had the same
arches.
Did you
not see the exteriors? I thought it was the Dynasty house. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, but exteriors are always different. They just go to like stock footage and buy an exterior.
Well, the Dynasty house is a real house in Woodside, California, Tori. I'll have you know.
So not the inside, the outside.
That's right. And I think people
really? Where's Woodside?
It, near Palo Alto. Very fancy.
Oh, okay.
But Steve Sanders' mom, Samantha Sanders, she's beautiful. Like a porcelain doll I want to put on my shelf.
I love her face.
I enjoyed those scenes and love that she calls him Steven.
I do too.
Just everything, the way she talks, and it's just so, I don't know, she's so famous.
Yeah, she's so famous.
She's perfect.
And she saved the day because she got him back in school.
What do you think really happened? Did she donate to the school?
That's
like
what I was thinking.
Something happened
on the side.
Something
there
that convinced Mrs. Teasley.
And are we to assume that Steve hooked up with the PA?
Yes.
Like a lot?
Well, that's, you know, open for your interpretation.
But he came back like, I met a girl, but I was like,
and he looked pretty excited about it.
Yeah, so.
I feel like we missed a chunk, like a scene was cut.
I got the vibe he did it.
I don't know. I don't want to think about that. Nobody.
I don't
needs
either,
to see
but
that.
Amy does. Are you jealous, Amy? Amy,
a little. I'm not gonna lie. I always feel like all the feels. Like I'm always like, ugh. I like him. And then I don't know, like, do I like Steve? Do I sort of just think Ian's so sweet and charming? And then
Ian
I have
did
to, like,
look really super sweet and like beautiful. Like his skin was perfect and no shit, like so shaved so nicely. Like he just looked real pretty in this episode.
But his jacket in this episode. The one jacket, I couldn't figure out what it was. It was long and then it kind of tied in at the back.
Oh, he had it cinched in.
And he was rehearsing. Yeah.
Maybe you have one of those. Remember those clips that you used to put on the back of the baby doll dress? Like had like a clip on one end and then a scrunchie and then a clip on the other end. And you would like bring in your baby doll.
Oh my God. Has anyone brought those back for the 90s? Like,
I'd like to have one.
Yeah, me too.
all I can think about right now is like when Ian took his shirt off, and I'm like,
wait, Ian took his shirt off?
Jenny, you were here. Tori missed it.
Oh, in real life. I'm sorry. I thought you'd been in the episode. Like, jeez.
Weeks ago. I'm like,
wait, on the episode, he took his shirt off?
Yes, on the podcast with Amy. She almost passed out.
I'm actually having a flashback, and I don't know if I'm having a hot flash or just a flash.
I don't know, but you're some all glowy kind of right now. Yeah. You're turning red. You're flashing. Great. Oh, my God.
You're flashing.
She's turning so red.
I'm like, because all of a sudden where you guys were talking about that, it was like in my mind. Oh, God. Okay, focus. So, yeah, I think 90210 invented reality TV.
Maybe.
But it wasn't a series they were filming, right? It was
didn't they call it
a one-off?
It was like a special, one-off special.
Escape of the Stars? Didn't she refer to it as
Escape?
Escape of the Stars. What are they escaping
from?
Well,
and it was...
Oh, and that's why they're in a different house.
Oh, they're escaping life?
They're
troubled
life. Yeah,
I guess you're escaping with the stars.
To escaping, like vacationing. Oh, that's a good show.
Write that down.
We should produce that.
Make a note.
But yeah, but it was like a reality show, but yet it was like fake. Because remember, they all like put them in the spot and then they're like, let's move on to the next setup. So it wasn't quite reality TV, but then Steve had the brilliant idea like, oh, my mom is so much nicer on camera. So I'm going to drop this bomb on her on the show. So literally, maybe 90210 didn't invent reality TV, but Ian Ziering, Steve Sanders.
Was, yeah. What about when they first get there and the like worker guys are doing something on the floor, like taping the floor, and she's so rude to them. And then the guy goes, whatever, the talent's here. Like, I felt uncomfortable.
Already? Because,
is that how they think of us?
Sometimes,
yeah,
because I'm the
you're the one saying the talent's here.
Not you guys, but sometimes we're like the talent's crazy.
Because you know what,
crazy.
90% of the time, it's accurate. Yeah. Let's be honest.
You guys, the behind the scenes, and not you guys. I swear to God, I would tell you.
Some reason I don't believe you.
So we play this game. I'm giving everyone a little peel back the curtain. So we play this game. So we have events, which you guys have been to a million times.
Like what?
Jingle Ball, Wango Tango, iHeartRadio Music Festival, all these things. So my job is like we're in charge of the talent, like the celebrities. And literally that means like we just basically like hold your hands, get you water, walk around, tell you where to go. Here's the bathroom.
You're like the,
it's
the,
not,
the,
you put out a million fires in one night.
You're the zoo animal like wrangler.
Totally. And it's not a fancy job. Like we like it. It's fun. But like you're really just in charge of doing whatever the talent needs. So at the end of the night, after you guys are like gone, we all huddle up in this room. And we play this game.
Oh, my God.
No, it's not that. We play this game called High Low. Mm-hmm. And so then you go around this, all the like PAs go around the circle and we're like, what was the best part and what was the worst part?
Meaning the best talent, the worst talent.
Or like, what was your favorite moment? Like sometimes it's like, oh, I was with Tori and we bumped into Harry Styles and this happened. You know, like sometimes it's that.
I wish I was there for that.
Sometimes the lows.
Oh my God, give an example without giving names.
Spill it right now, Amy.
Okay, I've got one. Okay. Oh God. I hope everyone listening, everybody has to. Okay, so literally, we were in Vegas and the celebrity has to get on stage. Like you guys do it. Like Tori, you know, Tori and Jenny will be introducing an artist, right?
Oh, so I'm getting sweaty pits just thinking about doing that.
Me
okay,
too.
Go ahead.
I'm like my head, my muscles are clenching up, but I won't. Okay, so literally, this person is supposed to be on stage in like maybe 8 minutes. They are not even in the building. They are still at the hotel across the street.
What?
And this poor PA is like not. So the PA just sits in the hallway like waiting because the person's getting dressed or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're just like knocking on the door like, we have to go. And like they've probably got a walkie-talkie. So the walkie-talkie is like blowing up like, we need the person now. And the text is blowing up like, get him out of the door. Get him.
It's a him. Okay.
It's a boy. Okay.
No, it might have been. I'm just saying, I'm being very vague. This poor PA who's probably like just my friend doing it for me as a favor, knocking on the door, begging for the person to come. The person like has probably changed their clothes 12 times. I don't know.
Did they come out?
I'm they never came out. Stop it.
I think we have had a couple where very rarely, but a couple where the person just it didn't happen.
So they got this free trip to Vegas and they're just like partying in their room and they're like, nah, we're just not gonna show up and do our job and present.
I've definitely had a few moments on the phone like, get out of the limo now. Right now. Get out of the limo. Now,
I want to know what that feels like for Amy telling me, get out of the limo.
You feel like you're going to have diarrhea.
Well, thank you. That's very descriptive.
I can't even imagine you like being like mean or like, get out.
Oh, when it's go time. Amy's got it going on.
Oh, God, my whole body. I'm going to have to take an Advil. Okay. Anyway, back on track.
No, this is way more fun this episode. Sorry. I'm just being honest. I could talk about this shit all day.
And literally not you guys. I would tell you, not you guys. I've never had anything with anyone from 90210 other than literally the greatest experiences. Because Jason's done it and Luke has done it. The easiest, most amazing. Ian's done it a bunch of times. Like, literally, I would tell you guys, not a story. I mean, Luke, So do you guys want to hear it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's the best story. Okay. So Luke came to Vegas. I can't remember who he was introducing, but the cast of Riverdale was with him. Like not the whole cast, but a lot of guys. And Ryan Seacrest and I were walking down the hall and we bumped into Luke and then some band, some rock band. I can't remember. They freaked out over Luke. It was like, oh my God. And then we said to the boys on Riverdale, I'll never forget this, whoever it was, the PA and me, and we're like, what do you want to do? And they literally said, whatever Luke wants to do is what we'll do. Like, we are going to go wherever he's going to go. We're going to do whatever he wants to do. And I was just like, oh my God. There are no words to explain how beyond. Like, he was so amazing. The kindest person. And just these boys looked up to him so much. It was like really pretty special.
Behind the scenes stories are always the best ones.
Yeah.
Speaking of behind the scenes, did you notice? Okay. Did you notice when it's at the end, I think, when Steve's coming out of the classroom into the hallway, there's did you notice, Amy? Where there's extras, the background actors are standing, waiting for their cue to walk. They're like,
no.
Just standing there. You have to watch it now because I had to rewind it just for my pure enjoyment. They're just standing there. And then she even steps back. And then she goes, I love stuff like that.
When like Brandon's waiting out. Yes. And the whole Brandon thing coming back and forth was too like, I didn't like it.
Yep.
I don't know.
It was weird.
I missed that. So now I'm going to have to rewatch for Jason's, you know what, and this.
I wish I had seen that. Then I would have liked this episode. Jeez, something.
You drive it home for me. Did you hate this episode more or the last one?
It's going to upset you, but I actually like this episode less because the last one, I know you weren't into the Anne thing, but you know, I'm a big fan of hers from her horror films.
Okay.
So I was into that and it was so beautifully shot that at least
it was nice to look at.
Yeah. This one was just like you said, it was clunky.
And it was dark. Like it was all interiors and.
Yeah, and I didn't get to see any of like the kids' storylines together.
Yeah, there was so many extra characters coming in, like
I didn't like
guest stars. I felt like it was very disjointed.
That's fair criticism.
Yeah,
but it was super sappy. Like the whole toast. I mean, the prayer. I guess what it was. say, can you say grace?
And I felt bad. I feel like, oh, there's a lesson to be learned. Like, oh my God, I seem very superficial, like how Donna was in that episode. But I'm sorry. I just want to see my main cast members.
You mean how when Donna walked up to the homeless guy, she goes, so you're homeless?
Huh. So you're homeless, huh?
So you're homeless, says, huh? Yeah. Uh-huh. Kelly says, you can't imagine not having a gold card.
You're right. There was a very important message that both you and I are poo-pooing.
It was more like an after-school special slash Hallmark
movie. Very true.
It was like a Christmas Hallmark movie, but it was Thanksgiving. You know what? Yep. Like everything tied back, I don't know. It's been two in a row for me, you guys.
I hope next week's a little feistier. I really do.
Should we want some drama?
I didn't hate it.
Do we take a break and come back and talk about the rest? Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, fashion and our lines, because I have the best line.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Okay, so what are we thinking about the fashion in this episode?
Jack McKay in sweats with a black t-shirt. Hello.
White sweats. They were cute. I also wanted that big blue sweatshirt that Luke was wearing, that Dylan was wearing.
Mm-hmm. I wrote that too.
I just wanted that.
Donna's ski outfit forever.
Hey, well, Jim, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, but I really need to know how did they get you to agree to wear that headband for that long?
Interesting. I think I was still at the point where I was scared to say anything about things.
It wasn't it was a sweatband. It was like when you wear it to the gym to catch your sweat, one of those like terry cloth bands. It wasn't a headband like for your hair.
At least I still got to have my hair. Because if they had me put my hair back, you know, I would have lost my shit. Like, I hate
like
it.
Like an ear warmer.
I always need hair.
I was just dying to know.
Like a skiing ear warmer.
All I was looking at was like the fact, like, wow, I should have appreciated it. I could wear spandex, stretch, or whatever, ski pants. White ones. Look at my little butt.
You're a little tushy. I couldn't stop staring at it. Cute little peach.
I miss
tushy.
That butt.
I like.
Oh, so Jim Jack had his suspenders. Like from what I could tell, I liked how the burgundy theme. He had like it was kind of a plaid thing, and then the bow tie and the suspenders.
Right, that was his dinner outfit. But what about his outfit for before, which was a pastel plaid shirt? It had nothing to do with the holidays. I was very upset about it.
Okay, true.
And then
I like Jack McKay's trench. I thought he was maybe wearing a Burberry trench when he left prison.
Well, he's rich, so makes sense.
Chic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wait, wasn't there a scene when Donna and Brenda are both wearing raincoats? Or maybe it was
at the school
in the opening?
Yeah.
That was legit.
Well, it's raining. You have to have a rain slipper.
With a plaid shirt.
Oof. I had a favorite.
Oh, God. Brandon's plaid shirt at the end scene. Who's? With the big, like the big, Brandon had a plaid shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
Like usual. And another scene, he had like a five-tone plaid shirt on. Mm-hmm. It was like red plaid, blue plaid. And then the end scene, it had big, what's the word?
Decals?
What is it? Yeah, what is it called when they're like embroidered on?
Embroidered on things.
Things. Big ones all over it. It was really gross. Sorry.
So do you have, is it the plaid of it all? Do you just hate plaid?
No, I thought you hated plaid.
I love a good plaid.
But you don't like it when there's too much plaid in an episode.
Well,
correct?
Yeah. I mean, you can only really have one person wearing plaid in a scene. Like, that should be a rule.
Right. No, I like plaid, but it wasn't like this time era. Like plaid, like next season or the season after when we start to like change styles, that was in. But like,
wait, okay, we're going to say lines. Then I have to go back to one other thing. What was your favorite line? Amy, you said you have a good one.
Oh, yes. Okay. So when Steve is in the peach pit before he's told his mom, and Brandon says, "Are you drowning your sorrows in lactose?"
In lactose. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Who says that? That was an ad lib. That had to have been an ad lib.
Do you think? Oh, that's amazing if it was.
When he says, like, "I'm a growing boy," I feel like I can't say it right, but that felt like something he would say, like,
Yeah,
like good. On set. Like,
did you have a line?
I liked my homeless line.
Yeah. Sorry, I ruined it for you.
No.
Do it again, just for fun.
So you're homeless, huh?
So good. I had a favorite line, but it wasn't from the show. It was from Fiona, who was watching the show with me.
Do tell.
She was watching the episode, and she was watching the Thanksgiving thing, and she goes, "Why are you so pale? It hurts my eyes." I was like, "It hurts your eyes? Like it's that bad?" She goes, "Yeah."
Oh no.
I love her even more for saying that.
Okay, can we go back for a second? I know we have to wrap up, but
you know,
at the very, very end in the school when Dylan comes back and it's like, oh my God, Dylan's coming back and there's Brenda and there's Kelly and they're walking, they're together, they're back to being friends, and he busts right up in the middle of them.
Amazing.
Mocks them, like with his hands, he mocks their talking to each other, which is so f***ing rude. Sorry, I said that F word. And then he just, and then he grabs them and aggressively kisses both of them. And then keeps on walking. Kisses both of them.
So I got nervous when I saw him kiss you on the mouth. I was like, is he going to turn and kiss her on the mouth? Wait, what's happening here? But he didn't. He kissed her on the side of the head.
I don't know. I just was like, is this a comedy now? Is this funny to you? Are we a joke to you, Dylan? And I was like, is it okay to just toy with girls' emotions? Is that the message that you're...
Like, hey, I'm back.
Yeah, like, deal with it. Like, I don't know. It's just, I was like, oh.
What if you had both turned around and just socked him?
But if it's, that would have made me happier.
Punched him in the dick. Oh, I mean, can't say that.
Nope.
Punched him in the pee-pee.
Oh, maybe on that note, we wrap this episode. I feel like we should, you know. We got homework, though. We got homework.
Okay, hopefully, what's next week?
Do you think it's going to be better? Let's say a little prayer.
You guys, third time's the charm. It's going to be better. It has to.
Oh, I don't know.
No, Dylan's back with the girls now. There's going to be drama, I predict.
I don't know.
So I'm just glad he's back.
The title is a little, I don't think it's going to be
what
good.
Is it?
It says, it's a totally happening life. That's next week's episode, episode 16 of season 3.
Oh, man.
Right? Don't you feel scared now? It's not going to be good. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. We're going to watch it anyway, and we're going to break it down, and we're going to watch it. It's going to be great.
Thanks for the best day ever.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.